Amen. Thank you, choirs. Appreciate you and your faithfulness. Now, we're going to be in several scriptures, but I want to share something with you that we had not completed in staff that I'd like to share with you. I had asked about the fruit of the Spirit, and Brother Don Yoakam did a great job on giving us the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 5. And there was one thought there that I was going to be bringing out. Didn't have time, but still want to bring it out. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance is that self-control that Don had spoke about. He was right on. But what I want to refer to is the word faith. The word faith there is not the gift to that we receive at birth in Christ. Faith is a gift. But that's not this faith. This word faith is translated faithfulness. You know why our teen choir does such a great job and why our young choirs work so hard and do such a great job? It's because of faithfulness. You know why some of our classrooms are growing and some of our music ministry is growing and some of our ministries here at our church are growing? Is because of faithfulness. Listen, one of the most important things you can ever do as a Christian is be faithful. Be faithful. Whether it's in something small or something big, it does not matter. What God, in fact, Jesus said with his own words, he is going to require in every believer faithfulness. And help us, God, to be faithful. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness to be here tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness in staff and all of you that work so hard in this great church. Take your Bibles now and look, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, when you find your place there, turn now, if you would, also to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2, stand if you would for the reading of the Word of God, if you are able. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Chapter 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thankfulness. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the word of the world, and not after Christ. Now, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Father in heaven, God, now may you come be with us in a very special way. Anoint me that I might preach your word, encourage your people, and if there be one here lost and without Jesus, that they'd come to know Christ tonight. Possibly someone here that just needs to surrender their life and their all. That you've truly saved them, but you have never been the Lord of their life. May tonight, may they begin a journey by allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of when a house becomes a home. When a house becomes a home. I've been burdened for some time, and I guess that it finally just got settled in my heart this last Sunday at about 5:15 when I was speaking to my men, knowing one of the greatest needs of our church is the home and how desperately we need help in our home. And you know, we yearn that God would have it, that God would help us in our homes. I know that, and I believe this, that when you begin to look around, it isn't easy to get depressed. I mean, it's easy to get depressed when you begin to see and look around at all the homes that are failing, all the marriages that are struggling and the problems, and almost every home is affected by it one way or another. And I know as a pastor, even in this flock, the great need for the Word of God to be preached and to be taught and encouragement given to God's people about the home. I know that in the world has the idea about the home now, that we can write up contracts for a home, that we can make deals. If this doesn't work, we can bail out and nobody has to sacrifice. But I know that in the Word of God, it teaches different. That if it's ever going to work, it's going to take sacrifice. Amen? I believe that in any of the work of God, that if it's ever going to work, this building we've got planned, if it's ever going to happen, it's going to take sacrifice. If I'm ever going to get to where I'm pleasing to God and that God looks down on me and says, well done, thou good and faithful, it's going to take sacrifice. If I'm going to enjoy a little bit of heaven in my home, it's going to take sacrifice. So tonight I want to share with you a little bit about that. In fact, it might be quite a few Wednesdays I'm going to be preaching on the home and how important it is that we have godly homes, homes that are pleasing to the Lord, homes that we can abound more and more, homes where we can truly enjoy the blessings of God. Now, to begin with, let me just share a few thoughts with you. Now, we look to one particular scripture in Colossians, and if I get a chance, I'm going to get to that in a moment. But we know our adversary. We know how real he is. We know that he is the devil. We know that he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We know that from the book of Peter. We know how absolute real he is. But we also know, as believers in Christ, that we can have the victory. We also know that we can be overcomers. We also know that where two or three are gathered, Jesus promised to be there. And so I believe in a home that Jesus can be there in a special way. I'm convinced that he's still on the throne. I'm convinced that there still is and can be even more happy homes. Homes where people feel welcome, where people feel alive, where people's dreams are real to them, and they're encouraged, and there's protection. And so tonight I'm going to share some of that with you. You see, the Bible teaches that we are called to be righteous. Amen? I know that's a forgotten message. I know that's a forgotten teaching about a call to be righteous. It is a challenge before all of us. And I believe that in the home, it's a great challenge. It's an encouraging challenge that the home be a place where God will dwell, where God will feel at home or at peace. And so tonight, let me tell you what it's going to take to turn a house into a home. To begin with, and I could use so many different terms and terminology, but what I'm going to do is just share with you from my heart. I am absolutely convinced that it can happen today. I'm convinced that God can turn a marriage around, no matter how bad a shape it's in. I'm convinced that God's in the business of healing, amen? God's in the business of forgiving. God's in the business of blessing. I believe that, amen? I believe that God's in the business of blessing. He's in the business of protecting. He's in the business, and he believes in marriage. He instituted it in the garden. And so tonight, let me share with you, number one, I believe that if it's going to happen, it's going to take the Almighty God, the Father. It's going to take God, the Father, to make your house a home. Not just somewhere where you hang your hat. Not somewhere where you just sleep at night. Not somewhere where you get fed. It's not just like room and board. For it to turn from a house to a home, it's going to take the Heavenly Father. Now, what I mean by that is I could have said God Almighty. I could have said God Almighty, and that might have been all right. But the reason I chose God the Father is because he must be the Father of your life and of your heart. See, it takes for God to bless a home, truly bless a home, and to have the riches of heaven and the protection of God. It's going to take those people in that home to know God. Now, what that means that all of us tonight on a Wednesday night surely know what it means to give their heart to Christ, to truly be born again, not just some head knowledge, amen, not just a head knowledge, not just a fact or a statement that I believe, but a heart knowledge, something that has taken place. You may not know the time, may not even remember the place, but you know something happened deep inside your heart and it changed you forever. That's what it takes, dads. That's what it takes, moms. Young people, that's what it takes. For your house to turn from a house to a home, it's going to take recognizing God the Father. It will take him. You see, he's the one that instituted the family. In fact, he's the one that wrote the rule books on it. And you know what? I'm convinced more and more. That's the biggest problem in the homes across America today. That they're just not following the rule book. Really? They're just not following the rule book. And if we just get back in the Word of God, in fact, when you really study Matthew chapter 7, you'll find that's really not about a home. That's about the foundation of the Word of God. Do you know it'll last forever and ever? And you know, as a rule book and a guidebook, the Word of God from God the Father, and by the way, it takes believers to believe it. So the first ingredient of turning your house into a home is recognizing and relying upon God the Father. Number two, now this is the heart of the message. Number two, not only does it take God the Father, but number two, it takes fellowshipping time with the family. It takes fellowshipping time with the family. Now listen to what that means. You know, elderly people used to say, you know, the olden days were better. And you know, when I hear people talk about that, and I do hear about that a lot, and then they talk about how it wasn't so much better when it comes to the convenience we have today. I mean, aren't you glad, ladies, that you don't find some wash hole to wash your clothes? You've got a washing machine and you just turn the button on. And it'll even buzz and tell you when it's done. By the way, they even got washing machines now you don't even take out until they're dry. When they talk about the olden days, that's not what they normally are talking about. They're talking about when there was family time. They're talking about when a home was a home, when a house was truly a home. It was rarity to find houses. It was more common to find homes. There wasn't television. There wasn't the computer. Where it amazes me to this day that the people in that home, in many homes in America, know people on the computer better than they know the people they live with in their home. Why, listen to me, that is the biggest problem in America and in the homes across America today, is that there's no time of fellowship with the family. Oh, daddy's got to work. And oh, I want you to listen, daddy. Daddy needs to step up to the plate. Daddy's the one that can set the pace. Daddy's the one that can set the boundaries. Daddy's the one that sets the rules. And by the way, daddy, if your job is your God, it'll all you'll have when life is over. You won't have your kids. You're lucky if you'll have your wife. You're lucky if you even have anything. That'll all turn to dust. You know that? You can't take your job to heaven. I don't know, I love you folk, but I don't want to take my job to heaven. I can't wait till I get to heaven and I give this job to God. It's all yours. I'm done with it. But I want you to know that in the home, there needs to be set times for the family to fellowship and get to know each other. That don't happen. In fact, as a pastor, I struggle to get people to at least sit down and have dinner together. I struggle to get people to sit down and even if they're going to have dinner together, at least turn the TV off. That's amazing, isn't it? Sit down and everybody gets their plate and they run to the chair, their favorite chair in the living room. Or they run to the couch or while they're trying to fix it and the TV's on. And if the wife tries anything, God forbid, if she tries to shut the television off, half the family explodes. Or fast food. I've been reading article after article, and it's amazing. I could preach a whole message just on that. You'd be amazed. Just look around when you're driving in the vehicle. I watched this morning on the way to work here, and I don't live far. And I can pull up to a stop sign, and a family will pull up, and there'll be two or three on the phone. And that's family time. That's basically all the family time many families get is while they're in the car. And that family time is really not, all you've got is the kids in the back. Sometimes the parents in the front, or at least one of them, and they're on the phone, and the kids are conversating with themselves or usually fighting with each other. And then the only dinner time they've got is through the drive-thru. Something's going wrong. And if we expect any blessings out of that, if we expect any power of that, if we expect any anointing of that, we might as well forget it, because it's not going to happen. God ain't going to bless that. In fact, I believe God ain't in that. There has to be, listen, there has to be on purpose set time. And by the way, I'm so convicted about this that I often tell folk in counseling is that when it comes to your wife, and I know it shocks a lot of folk, but young people, listen, when the wife, they come first. I remember when my first pastorate, and I remember a couple, they were struggling in their marriage, having a hard time. I mean, even talking divorce. And there was an accident. It happened right in front of my house. They were crossing the road, and a guy was flying down the road with his lights off, and it put her in a coma for weeks. And I remember when they got the boy in one ambulance and the wife in the other, and I remember that he got in the ambulance with the boy, and I remember when I had talked to them some days before, I remember that they made it clear that their kids come first. And I tried to convince them, that's why your marriage is falling apart. Listen, that kid came after you two. And I'll tell you something, if that kid's going to survive, it's going to take you two. You brought him into this world, amen? You brought him into this world, and if you're going to raise him properly and right, then it's going to take both of you working hard at your marriage. I ain't got time to spend on a date. I don't got time to. Listen, it is imperative and important that you, listen, if you'll just put God first, amen, God will begin to teach you where all your ducks are to line up, amen. And when it comes to your relationship between your wife, you men, and you moms, listen, your child doesn't come first. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't love your child as much as you love your spouse. That's not what I'm asking. I'm talking about in priorities. You'd be surprised how many children run the home. It would shock you to know how many children run the home in America. In fact, to the point where the father leaves the house. Often it's the father. Because the mother feels this is the way it needs to be because and on behalf of their children, so much that it shoves the husband out of the home. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. It's a tragic. It's terrible to even think, but it's happening. It's happening. I think when it comes to the fellowshipping of time with the family, I think that the only way that's going to happen, it's going to happen on purpose. Amen? That it's got to happen on purpose. Now, when I talk about fellowshipping in time with the family, a fellowship of time with family, that means that we have control of our time. Am I right? Everybody with me? We can work the right hours we need to work. Amen. We can spend the right. Now, here's what I hear all the time. I don't have enough money for us to do things as a family. It don't take money to do things with a family. You know what it takes? It takes a little effort, a little sacrifice. And by the way, it's not easy. But you know what? Whatever happened to families just walking together or bicycling together? Whatever happened to families going to the park? Whatever happened to families just sitting around and spending time with other family of their family and just fellowshipping? Whatever happened to that? I remember growing up all the time and getting around all my family and always talking and laughing. And whatever happened to that? What happened? Did we move to another planet? All I ever hear anymore is, we don't got time for that. I don't got time for that. And we're always busy, busy, but busy about the wrong things. And I say to dads are the ones that's got to step up to the plate, amen? They got to step up. And by the way, if dad won't step up, mom step up. Set down some ground rules. I remember preaching this, and you'd be surprised the effect it has on different people. I remember one woman, she went home. And I said, listen, you know the demon in your home that's keeping you from having family time. You know what it is. Go home and with the power of God, get rid of that demon. She went home and she took her scissors and unplugged every TV she had and cut the end of the cord off. Guess what I had? I had a phone call and then I was on the scene. You talk about a mess. Boy, was it a mess. I work all day long. I labor. I bought that TV. I this and I that. And all I could tell him was is that she's trying to tell you something. She's just trying to tell you something. And all I could do was take him back to when he was dating her. When you were dating her, how much television did you watch? When you were dating her, how much of the movie was you watching? Can you even remember the title of the movie? What happened? It's the same with the wife. It's like we get them in the boat. Y'all know what I mean by the term of that. You're done fishing. You got them in the boat. That's it. Listen, husbands and wives need to date. Husbands and wives need to encourage each other. And they need to enjoy each other, amen? That doesn't mean that, all right, I'm married now. I don't need no wash job, no wax job. I don't need fixed up anymore. Lord Jesus, you need it more than ever. You need to keep it up, amen? Same with you husbands. Brush your teeth once in a while. I could preach on. That'll be in the next few Wednesdays, okay? I'll probably even buy a few new toothbrushes. Provide them at the table back there. You ladies would like that, wouldn't you? And the toothpaste. Number three. Number one, it takes God the Father in the home. Number two, it takes the fellowshipping of time with the family. You've got to make time for the family. The whole family. The whole family. Call it what you like. When I was raising Rosie, it was called family time. Still is today. We got it tomorrow night. We have them all week long. I like that. I wouldn't change that for nothing. I love my grandbabies. Have them all week long, and now we're going to have them tomorrow night. I had them at this pizza place that Doug introduced me to. I didn't know where it was over there. It's a pretty nice place, man. I can't do much pizza. But I went to this place over here on Forest Hill. I ain't going to tell you. I think it was the one on Okeechobee. That's where you go. Go to the one on Okeechobee. I'll leave that one alone. Go to the one on Okeechobee, okay? Well, I got introduced to this one, had a good time, and I decided, hey, I'm going to take my family. And I took them all but Rose and Michael. They were doing their own thing at work. She had to work, but rest of us loaded up, went over and had pizza. And then now we're going there tomorrow night. Where's my grandbabies? We're there tomorrow night, Bubba. You're going to love it, okay? And it's got all kind of good stuff. And we're going to have time together and enjoy ourselves, amen? It's family time. You got to make family time. You got to do it on purpose. That's the key. But then number three, this is according to our text. You know, if you'll just fear God, put your faith in God, and be faithful to God, you can't go wrong. You hear what I said? If you'll just fear God, if you'll just have faith in God, listen, your faith in God will balance your fear in God. And then just be faithful to God. And that comes to my last point. That is, it takes obeying the Word of God. It takes obeying the Word of God. Now I'm going to try to bring this home. It takes obeying the Word of God. I believe in a God that rewards. I believe that. I believe it's taught through the Scriptures over and over. There are rewards in heaven. The Bible teaches, Jesus taught about rewards. He taught about even those that he had given gifts to serve and to do. In fact, he talked about and used the analogy of finances. You remember that? And the guy that buried it because he was fearful for his master and he was so fear. And he said, well, I'll take what you got and I'll give it to one that made twofold. And so there's rewards, and Jesus teaches rewards, not a reward of heaven. That's a gift. But the blessings that we can find in this life, the blessings. Now, we can waste those blessings. I mean, you remember the prodigal son? He took all the blessings of his father, and he wasted them. But his father yearned for him to come home. And here's what I want you to get. The older brother, when the son came home and the father was so excited and put a robe and a ring and shoes and all those things represent so much, and that he brought him into the house, he had killed the fatted calf, and there was laughter, and the older brother was out there and heard it, would not come in. He was angry. And the father came out and he said, all these years I have served you, and I have never done anything of such. I've been faithful to you. I have done what the field needed. I have done what was needed in the barn. I was a faithful servant. I was faithful as your son in all things. And he said, you never did anything like that for me. Y'all remember that? You never did anything like that for me. Now, what was Jesus' response? Anybody remember? Anybody remember what it was? He said, here's what he said. All of this, you see, the robe, the ring, the party, the laughter, the joy. He said, this has always been yours. It's always been yours. So what that means is this. When we begin to obey the Father, see, I'm convinced of this. When we obey the Father in the Word, now here's what that means. Husbands, lead your home. Don't you be, I can't use these terms. I'm trying to think of a proper term. Don't you be henpecked. Don't you be, they beep out stuff, don't they? You be a man of God, and you lovingly lead your home. Amen? You say, why is that, preacher? Because that's obeying the Word of God. Your wife should never, ever have to take the responsibility of carrying the burden of the home. It's not her job. It's your job to lead the home. It's your job to lead it lovingly. It's your job to be sacrificial. It's your job to be the man of the home, the high priest of your home. Ladies, it is not your job to run him. It's your job to submit to him. It's your job to be obedient to him in the Word. It's your job to be a godly wife and a good keeper at home. So that when he labors all week long, he comes into his home, he comes into his palace, his home is clean, everything's prepared, and he rejoices. That's obedient in the Word. You young children, obey your parents in the Lord. Don't be manipulative, don't be sneaky, don't be liars, don't be thieves. Grow up obeying your parents. I could go on and on. But that's what it means to obey the Word of God. You say, well, what does that bring? Just like he told that older brother, all this has always been yours to take. Let me tell you what it does. It brings a protection on your home like none other. It brings blessings into your home like you could gather no other way. You can't gather them no other way. See, I don't know how to explain it other than this. If you do not, as a parent, as a leader in the home, whether it's the male or if it's a female, there's no male in the home, whoever the leader in the home is, if you do not provide spiritually in your home, you're going to reap some of the most horrible things in the spiritual life of your children and your family. Darkness will overshadow your family horribly. If you do not be the right leader in obeying the word of God in your finances, you're going to have holes in your pockets. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. If you do not take time and be a good steward with your time, with your family, you know what I've learned? And I've learned it over the years as a pastor. If you don't take time with your kids when they're growing up, they won't take time for you when they're grown. You know, I think it's time we get back to knowing who lives in our house. Really. Know who they are. And love them for who they are. Love them unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. Love them where they're at. If they don't have any problems and if they're perfect like Carla. Yeah, we all know the real reality of that. But, okay. But, Now, you owe me $20 for that. Now, you promised me you'd give me $20 if I'd mention that. Okay, no, but all right. Or if they have flaws or problems, love them where they're at unconditionally. Love your husband that way. Love your wife that way. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, God, thank you for your word. I pray for the homes in here. I pray for my home. I pray protection upon these homes that are represented tonight. And blessings and the anointing of your spirit in their lives. Just some of the things that were said tonight. It's probably going to take some of the dads to step up, the moms. It's going to take even decisions in their life about video games and movies and friends and so many other things in their life that they need to readjust and to make the home the priority before we lose it. May it not be said in America that it's a rare commodity to have a home. May it be seen among the Christians. And God, if there's a home that's in the midst of a battle, come overshadow them. Show them your presence. And may our church be a help to them if we can. Lord, you bless, you lead, and you guide. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.